may be seated. Our Old Testament scripture reading is from Isaiah 7. I will be reading verses 10 to 14. Let us hear God's holy word. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Here ends the reading of God's word. Now let us hear the verses of Matthew 1. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. God's holy word. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let us pray. Father, as we examine now the meaning of this name, this peculiar name that was given to King Ahaz and then to all of us, Israel, Emmanuel, that you would help us, O Lord, to claim the promise that accompanies that name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being translated is God with us. Now, how often the thought has come to mind in our lives, during times like these especially, where is God? In fact, I heard almost that very expression this evening. Job, in his misery, not being able to explain the affliction that the Lord allowed to fall upon him, exclaimed, oh, that I might find him, I would plead my cause. Yet rather than demand that we attempt the impossible and go find God ourselves, God himself came down as a human to find us, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's why the Christ child is called Emmanuel. For Emmanuel means God with us. And the word is this then, in gloom or in joy, in danger or depression, he remains God with us, and that is our assurance. And you can't have greater assurance than that. Because you see, the whole story of salvation is God reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us. And so it begins, I will be a God to you and to your seed after you, God says to Abraham. And in Revelation 21 and 22, and God himself will be with us. That's the promise, that's the Emmanuel. Now let's look at this name, Emmanuel, and then we want to look at all the people, all the conditions that it applies to. First of all, he is Emmanuel, which means with us. But the idea of God with us is stronger than we generally think. It's not like he came with me to church or daddy went fishing with me yesterday. But it's sharing with. The meaning has the idea of being riveted, bonded to you, to one another. Like a husband and wife are with one another, bonded. I am with you to the end is the promise of Jesus. We are in this thing together, is what God is telling us all. Name it. What is it that you're into? God is in it with you. That's the idea. And how is it that he can be with us in this way? Because he became a man. He became a human just like us. The promise, a body you have prepared for me, he said in Psalm 40. And why did God prepare a body for him, his son? So that he could enter into human exchange and interaction with our own. He could sensitize, he could experience, he could identify with us on every level. He had the nerves, the sensitive muscles that strain, sweat that drips, blood that runs, all of that that is characteristic of a body. Exhaustion, yawning. He is with us in every stage of life too. Your children need to remember that Jesus was a child too. And he groped at one point when he thought he was doing God's will, but his parents were very upset because he remained after in the temple. He needed to learn. Children need to learn. He experienced this learning process. And he was subject to his parents until he was 30. He experienced the yearning and the eagerness of adolescence. Scarcely can you find a place in life as an adult where he has not been involved. The exhaustion that slept during a storm at sea, the hurts, the misunderstandings, the needs, the frustration, the disappointments. You feel them, every one of them. Don't think for a minute that Jesus has not felt exactly the way you feel. Sorrows of poverty, unemployment. Jesus said the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. How about the lost loved ones? Yes, Jesus looked and he wept with the death of Lazarus. Have you been gossiped about? Says the reproach has broken my heart. Reproaches against Christ. Have you felt forsaken? At one point, many of his disciples, it says, went back and walked no more with him. What did I say wrong? What upset them? I said something. It was a hard teaching. Oh, it was about eating the flesh of the Son of Man. And they didn't understand. And now they're gone. Now, abandonment is one of the greatest dreads of any servant of God. Because how can you serve the sheep of God when they walk away? So he turned to his own 12. He said, will you also leave? And I can just hear the twinge in his voice. The crack when he looks on his own 11, his own 12. Will you also leave me? That's when Peter stepped out. To whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And yet Jesus knew that one of them would betray him, which speaks of betrayal. Have you been betrayed? Jesus was by one who was right there with him all the while. So you name it. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is there with us. He is with us to the end. And whenever you go anywhere and experience anything, you know that Jesus understands what you're talking about because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And I remember, and Cindy and I remember, when we went to Israel with Bill and Becca, we were struck with a sudden realization that Jesus was here, walking along the side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walked there. And wading into the sea, Jesus waded in. So it is in our lives. Each halting place, Jesus tells us, I was there. In the fires or in the rivers of life, in the cold nights under the burning sun, you name it, whatever it is your experience, he cried, were you there? Be not dismayed, for I am with thee. Two believers may be very unlike each other in every way, but both will find that Christ's life is with them in likeness. So he is not only Emmanuel, but he is also Emmanuel to all his people. You might notice that in Isaiah that I read, Isaiah 7:14, it told us what the name of the child would be, Emmanuel, but it didn't say, which is being interpreted, God with us. Isaiah didn't say it because everybody knew what it meant. But when Matthew quotes it, he has to add in the note, Emmanuel, which is being translated, God with us. Why did Matthew feel like he had to add the translation? Because he knew the Gentiles were reading his book as well as Jews. He knew that it would be for Greeks and barbarians and Africans and Anglos and Asians, even lowly shepherds. He was born unto them, and they all needed to understand what Emmanuel means. You go to a foreign port or a foreign airport. They have shops and restaurants and signs, but they're in several languages, so people of all nations could be invited to come and purchase. Well, it's the same thing with Emmanuel. That's the message of Emmanuel. He is with all people. As Jesus made himself accessible to all, he welcomes all to come just as they are. And that's another important factor. I could elaborate on why Jesus was a baby laid in a manger. It was the lowest position. Anybody could look down. Nobody would feel unworthy to go to a manger. And that was the point. The lowest common denominator of all humanity. Jesus assumed that level so that all humanity could go to him. His birth invites the outcast. He is with the poor. He is with the sick. He is with the weak. Whatever your measure is, low class, a denigrated race, intellectually weak, the addict, the emotionally troubled, the guilt-driven conscience, you're included in the with us part of God. Because he identifies with you, not in committing the sin, but in feeling the awfulness of that sin. Not only was he confronted by it like spattered ink on a white sheet, sin against his spotless heart, but then when he died, all those sins were cast upon him, and they reminded him continually that he was an outcast. He was to be ashamed. He was rejected by God, and even God turned away. He knew what it felt like, more than you and I could possibly imagine. Though despised and rejected by your friends or family, all who trust in him are precious in his sight. Are there yet some of you who say, I'm not good enough? Would rather identify with a sinner? Or, I have nothing going for me? What interest would God have in me? And what hope can I make? What promise can I give to God that is credible? He knows me. My life is at a dead end, some say. There is no tomorrow. I can't see a tomorrow. It's so bad. It's so dark. Until they finally come to the point of saying, leave me alone by myself. Is that when we cherish our own private sorrow? Do we prefer to console ourselves in being universally misunderstood, even by God? Or can you receive His presence in your heart and surrender entirely? Because He is Emmanuel, Jesus came into the world to bring salvation. And so He invites us not to go to Him, but to receive Him coming to us. He invites us so that we can make it through the world as those who know they are never alone. He didn't come so that we could escape the world. He came in order that we might face the world and engage our surroundings with His presence with us, His accepting presence with us. And in those times when we engage in the world and we fall flat on our faces and fail, He is not ashamed. Like I said, when the disciples departed from Him, it looked like His ministry had come to a dead end. Will you also leave me? He knows what it's like. Well, it's not the end of the road for you if you've fallen on your face at any time. Because God is with us, we can undertake the tasks He has for us right where we live and right where we work and right where we get up off the ground. We can do this because Jesus walks with us. He sees us through it. We know this because not only did the angel announce this at the birth of Jesus, that His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us, but then He Himself asserted that same promise in the last words He uttered before He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And what did He say? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of your life. John Wesley, when he was dying, his last words are, the greatest blessing of all of this is God with us.